And we are back 44 minutes after 11 o'clock. I cut myself off there at the end of that last segment. First time I think I've ever done that.
Really?
I've cut other people off.
That's age.
But I literally cut myself off there.
Self-regulating yourself.
I know.
Very good.
I know. But anyway, good to see you again. And brought in with you a
couple
not just a plant, but a planter.
Yeah, a planter. We had some plants, succulents. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'll hit on the quote-unquote hot topics of the week, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the big one is right now the lawns. And it's a combination of a couple of things, Jeff. It's so dang hot. And in certain sections, it's very, very dry. Some people aren't getting any rain. And so you got to kind of look at it. If it's if when you're cutting your grass, cut that grass, don't cut it where you're shaving it, where you're just losing all the leaves that will kind of hold some of that moisture. Cut it high. You may have to cut it more often, but it's much better to cut it high than shave it and allow that moisture to go away. Now we have plenty of fertilizer, Jeff, but you don't want to fertilize right now. It's just too. Even though you can water, it's not going to do that much benefit. If you do anything, it would be to irrigate. And when you irrigate, you want to do at least an inch deep, inch or 2 inches deep, preferably once or twice a week. But if you get by with it, once a week, deep waterings early in the morning would be preferable. But it's starting to get pretty serious, and it's a combination of the dry and the temperatures that are causing problems. We, for the first time in actually several years, we've seen some chinch bug issues in the lawn, and that's directly due to the drought. And so just kind of be aware of that. You're going to start to see brownings. You're not going to be in round circles. It's going to be irregular and browning. And there's a way you stick a plastic cup in the ground a couple inches deep, fill it with water, and then they'll generally float up to the top. Good news is that sod webworms, which is still a little early for, but you can kind of keep the numbers down. Usually the same chemicals will take care of both. And but just kind of be aware of that. And the combination of waterings is going to be very important.
Gotcha there.
When it comes to newly planted plants in the soil, okay, again, mulch is always critical in the summer, Jeff, but it's even more critical now. And that's established stuff too. But the reason why newly planted stuff is because it doesn't have an established roots. And so it just dries out really fast, and it really can't support itself easily. Established plants have developed roots. The roots are generally deeper. They can pull, water out of the soil, 4, 5, 6 inches deep, and still may need a little help, but it's not going to be nearly as critical as with newly planted items. And kind of depending on the plant will determine how much you have to water. But generally, three waterings a week with shrubs will be sufficient. Bedding plants, newly planted bedding plants that are just small little 4-inch plants, probably take waterings every day until you get them established. And then, again, the mulch is going to be, extremely important in terms of survivability.
I don't know if we've ever talked about the idea of mulch for potted plants, and you've got a much bigger watering issue with potted plants outside.
Yes, and that's true. It'll keep the soil temperature down and less water evaporation. I guess the issue with potted plants, though, is that even though you may mulch it, you're probably going to have to water it every day. And that does depend on the plant, and it does depend on the location. But if you put a potted plant in the sun that's relatively small, 12 inches or smaller, it's going to dry out every day whether you mulch it or not. So it's gonna require a lot of water, and we're seeing that. We're just seeing that change in temperature is causing people to have issues.
And I guess visually too, you won't recognize if it's very dry. Would that be an issue too?
Yes. And so a lot of times, and again, that's kind of the difference between a plant drying out in April and a plant drying out now. In April, especially with potted plants, they'll warn you in April. In right now, the warning is going to be I'm dead, and it'll be just one day. And there are exceptions to that, but I'm just saying that even in the ground, you're going to have to in some cases water every day. These raised beds are great. They really function tremendously well. Last year when we're getting so much rain, those did extremely well. It kind of reverses here. In fact, it just dry out a bit more. But newly planted, newly landscaped or bedding plants that you just put in the ground are going to require, at least for the first 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the plant, waterings every day to maintain it. And then let the plant kind of adjust and tell you. Things like Lilia Niles, you know, Lilia Niles are the agapanthus you see blooming all over town right now. They look like daylily leaves and have these big blue flowers coming out of them. Newly planted ones will really suffer, like they really struggle when the roots start to dry out. They'll just turn yellow and just melt, and you would think, wow, it looks like it's too much water. It's actually a rhizome underneath there, and they just head south quickly. So you have to mulch them really, really good. And pretty much you have to water them every day. And it's just a really tough time to be planting. But as long as you know that, you're going to be okay. Now, when it comes to fertilizing, you want to use slow-release fertilizers. So you know, I just said that you don't want to fertilize the lawn. Well, that's not true with newly planted plants. So when you plant something newly planted in this kind of situation, you want to use a safe, slow-release fertilizer. And then this is a good chance to use things like root stimulators, which are liquids that you can do once or twice a week to help that plant produce roots rather fast at the same time that you're watering. So this is kind of the times that I always say that if you're going to use a granulated fertilizer or a liquid fertilizer, always use, and you only use one, use the granulated. Only use the liquids during periods of stress. And stress would be newly planted or in situations where it's so hot. And so this is a great time to when you're going to actually, you can actually soak those plants with fertilizers that are going to generate roots, and it really reduces the transplant shock and really helps the plants perform well and do well. So it's real critical at this point that we kind of look out for that. What I brought in today was this is just a display of succulents. And we kind of talked about this in the past, and the neat thing about succulents is it's a great plant to plant now because they don't take a lot of water. I mean, you can see, I'm showing Jeff here, these plants kind of have thick, succulent leaves, mm-hmm. which basically means, like a cactus, they hold moisture in those leaves, and they don't require a lot. And what I brought in into the show today is a real shallow root. I guess it's maybe a couple inches deep.
Maybe two and a half.
And so it's real shallow rooted, and it does not have any holes at the bottom. And the reason for that is you're going to water this very lightly. The soil will hold a little bit of moisture, but it's going to evaporate very, very fast because of the shallow roots. And it doesn't require, it might require once a week waterings. And so it's a good one. We tell people it's the succulents are good for gifts, good for maybe old people who can't take care of plants as much, and you can kind of create your own. What I bought here, basically succulents have different type of leaves, shape leaves, different color leaves, and different growth habits, meaning that some will grow up and some will grow out, but definitely all kinds of different shapes of leaves and color leaves. Some of them will bloom, some of them won't, but they're unique upon themselves in terms of the type of plant. So you can basically get maybe a unique leaf, a unique texture, you know, and a couple I have in here are sedums, and one's called jelly bean. I'm not sure why, but the leaf doesn't kind of, but it has a different leaf, and there's some succulents that look like fish hooks, just really unique and different one. And this one's called Echeveria, and this is just a different type of leaf. It kind of looks like a cactus, I guess, but not really, but the cactus is a succulent. And it kind of grows upright, but there's different colors. And so I just bought this here simply to say that this is a good one for low care, low maintenance, can be put inside. It does need some light, but you wouldn't want to put this outside in direct sun. At that point, because it's so shallow, it will dry out way too fast.
Gotcha.
But, you know, under a patio, indirect light does great. And, you know, you'd almost have to, pamper it way too much for it to cause problem. And basically mean by pamper is that if you start watering this thing every day, soaking it every day, like I've said about all the other plants, that would be a problem for these. They would start to really turn yellow and kind of melt right in the pot. And that's the biggest issue. So when it's over maintenance is the problems, that's usually a good thing in situations like this when people just having a hard time just going outside to do anything, let alone try to water your plants.
Gotcha.
The other thing I bought, because we've had some issues with this, is a product called Snake Away. And basically, usually at this point, I guess they're moving around, Jeff. We usually see them in the spring, but we've had several people come in. And basically all this is a cedarol, cinnamonol, and clove oil. So it's very natural and organic. It does it by smells. And this will take care of snakes as well as lizards. And you just sprinkle it out in the beds or wherever you're concerned about. You know, a lot of people want to put this around the perimeter of the yard and say, okay, I'm going to put an inch band around the perimeter of the yard. They're not going to cross it. Well, that's not the way it works. So you just kind of, let's say you have a bed near a patio. You put it in hiding spots where they would want to go, and they just don't like the smell. So it repels them, doesn't kill them. They just move on to the neighbor's yard, and they kind of leave you alone. So it's a easy way. You want a repeat application, especially if you've seen it. You put it down now, about 5 days you do it again, about 5 days you do it again. And after that, I'd say, once a month just to keep them out. And it's just a safe, natural way to keep snakes and lizards out. There's also a way to keep cats and all that. Oh, wow. And it's actually one called coyote urine, believe it or not. It's a predator. And that one doesn't smell as good. So you couldn't put that one around the patio. But if you weren't having company and you wanted to put it, they would generally move on. But we've had good results with both of those. And so people having issues with animals, and it's always been a problem. We have not seen too much of an issue with the armadillos, Jeff, but that's coming. When things start to get really, really dry, their natural habitat, they go into the woods and they kind of dig grubs or whatever they eat, and it's easy to dig. When it gets really, really dry and hard to dig, they look for softer ground, and that's when they go into these beds. Mostly people in rural areas, and I suspect we'll start to see that in the coming weeks if the ground stays really, really dry.
Gotcha. What else are we worried about these days?
That's about it. Vegetables, Jeff. We're kind of in between. The big one that we're seeing now in terms of insects. We're seeing leaf miners, those little trailing things. That's a big one. We just want to stay ahead of those. Kind of clip off the leaves and do that. You know, we're just in between seasons when it comes to new planting. You can still plant cucumber seeds and okra seeds. They'll take the heat but tomatoes. I'm telling people wait about 3 more weeks, the middle and end of July. And you plant them then, and about September, hopefully we're seeing a little bit of reduction in heat. And they start blooming them, and then they'll produce from September, October, November. We'll talk about this later, but you don't want to plant a fall tomato in the fall. It's too late. You want to plant a fall tomato in the heat of summer. Plant a heat-tolerant tomato. Try mid to late summer, and so that when they start to bloom and start to produce, it's a little bit more moderate, and that helps out a lot.
Very good. Anything else before we let you go?
I think that's it, Jeff. Just stay cool and use that water hose.
No doubt about it. Again, Richard, appreciate you coming by as always.
Thank you, Jeff.